All right, good morning, everybody. I've had a case of the too much fun, so I'm my voice is gone. I don't know, I woke up with feeling something, so if I don't shake your hand, I'm just trying to be cautious. Yeah, jet lag or something. All right, yeah, it's not personal. I'm just going to stay away from everybody this morning, though. Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, verse 8. Yeah, go ahead and hit him, Tammy. Ruth chapter 3, verse 8. So in these verses, Ruth, her commitment to Naomi is going to increase, and she will essentially be giving up her identity. And I think of these verses like this. You know, it's one thing to serve God and to serve, you know, to provide service or to give service. But it's another thing to be identified as a Christian or to have your whole identity. I think of it like I don't know how else to explain it other than this, that, you know, you can provide service and still be who you are. But when you become a child of God, your whole identity is now, it's a new identity. You're a new creature. And so there's a little difference and you know, just personal thoughts before I read these verses. You know, when I got saved and when I was called to ministry, my thinking on all that was, I'm not serving God necessarily. I'm doing something that this is what I am now. Who I am now. And so it's a little different thought process. And in Ruth's case here, she's helped Naomi. She's been faithful to Naomi. Definitely been faithful. Definitely been a help. But now her commitment is going to become her whole identity is going to become new, or she's going to lose what her past identity in the possibility of a new future with Boaz, and all for the sake of really for Naomi. This is for the inheritance and for the future and Naomi and her family. So Ruth chapter 3, verse 8. All of that said, I thought about a title, either a new identity or what was gained when Ruth lost everything. What was gained when Ruth lost everything and or gave up everything? Ruth chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says this. It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night. It shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until morning." There's three things in these verses that Ruth, when she offers her life as essentially a vessel to bring forth new life and the family of Naomi and for the sake of the inheritance and all that. There's three things that come about from that. And what Ruth gains, you look back on it, really the comparison is not even comparable to what she gave up. But let's pray and we'll talk about what Ruth gained when she gave up everything. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. I pray you'd help my voice. I pray it wouldn't be a distraction. I really don't want to be a distraction. I want us to get what we need from you, and I pray that you would guide and direct the study. Help us make the applications that need to be made. There's so much in Ruth's life that is noble and good, and then Boaz's life that's noble and good. And I pray that we could find some comparisons. And I pray that you'd help us with these things. And for the teachers that are teaching, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids in the back. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, like I said, so Ruth has served Naomi to this point, and her contribution to Naomi's life has been one of service. But now her contribution to Naomi's life and Naomi's family and the future and the inheritance is going to be her entire identity. She offers herself as, in marriage, she offers herself as a vessel to carry new life. And so it's kind of like, you probably heard that illustration, at the breakfast table, the contribution of the chicken is a little bit less than the contribution of the pig. And so, if that makes sense, the egg, you know, is a little less of a contribution than the bacon. And so one gave up his life and one just provided a service there. And so Ruth is about to give up her entire identity. And there's a lot of comparison and good comparison that can be made in discipleship and a Christian's life and what is lost versus what is gained. And I want to look at those things this morning, these verses. So there's three of them that I notice. First one is this, verses 8 through 10. When Ruth makes this offer and says, you know, you're a near kinsman. I am Naomi's family and willing to marry and willing to bear children for Naomi and for her family and for her inheritance. I'm willing to do that. So she is her past, her old Moabite identity is essentially, she's willing to give all of that stuff up. It's no longer just helping Naomi. Now it's, I am going to become a part of this family. Ruth has subjected herself to Boaz in order to raise up children for Naomi's inheritance. And verse 9 shows that Ruth's willingness to give of herself. And it's interesting what Boaz says. In verse 10, he says, "Blessed art thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end." That more kindness is the sacrifice Ruth is making. That's what he's talking about. He said, yeah, you were a help to Naomi in the beginning. You would come and gather food for the family, and that was good. That was helpful to Naomi. But now this latter kindness, where you're willing to be a vessel for new life, that's a different level of commitment. And so he mentions in verse 9, or she mentions to spread that, he said, "Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid." That is just a sort of like a marriage proposal. I'll show you another place it shows up. Look in Ezekiel chapter 16, just to give you another little place it shows up. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 8, when the Lord does this with an Israel. Ezekiel 16, 8, the whole spreading the skirt thing. Ezekiel Ezekiel 16:8 says, "Now when I passed by thee, looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. I spread my skirt over thee, covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." All right, that's a good little cross-reference to what that means there in Ruth chapter 3, verse 9. It's a marriage proposal. And so back over here in Ruth, that's what Ruth is doing. She is making herself available for marriage and letting Boaz know that, and as she's been instructed by Naomi. And so Boaz notes a couple things about her. First notices her kindness, this new level of kindness, the sacrifice, the self-sacrifice, and willing to give of herself in this way is a deeper commitment than she's already had. Second thing he notices about her is in verse 10. He said, "Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." So she's not flirty. She's not a gold digger. That's not what she's there for. Her purpose in helping Naomi is to help Naomi and be faithful to Naomi and this family. And so it reminds me of a couple things. Number one, reminds me of what Jesus said over there in Matthew. Let's look at a cross reference in the New Testament, because like I said, Ruth's commitment has become, old things are past. Now I am identifying myself with these new things. Look in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. The first thing Ruth is going to benefit from by losing her old life is she's going to gain a new and fruitful life. All the old Moab stuff, all the past is going to be in the past, and now there's, since we know the end of the story, she's going to gain a new and fruitful life. Look in Matthew 10. This is the commitment here. Verse 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." So there's a commitment there where all these old ties are left, and for the sake of, in the New Testament, for the sake of Jesus Christ, when old things passed away, all things become new, and there is this new and fruitful life. And when you look at it, when you step back and think about it, giving up the old life is not really, I don't know what you would actually be giving up. I mean, there's just, when you think of the past, it's like, I don't think of the past as a great thing necessarily. I think of the future as good. I think of hope and new life in Christ is good, but giving up past, now giving up family, that's tough. And mom and dad, I mean, that's what Ruth left. Ruth left her mom and dad. She left any prospects of, I'm sure she had neighborhood friends she grew up with and all that. And she's giving all of that stuff up for the sake of Naomi, for the sake of new life and new inheritance and all that kind of stuff. And so, if Ruth had chosen, just hypothetically, if Ruth had chosen to love her family and back in Moab more than the God of Israel, she would have gone back like Orpah did, never would have been able to participate in this new life, never would have been remembered by the Lord as she was. She would have lost these things. And so, one more note. Paul says it this way. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Paul says it this way. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Y'all, I feel really bad. I hope my voice is not a distraction. I really do. I feel bad for y'all having to listen to this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, that's one thing about Jesus Christ leaving and then humbling himself even to death, giving up his whole life, and then being glorified and honored and magnified. In the next chapter, Paul says it this way about his own life, too. He says this, chapter 3, verse 4. Says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. This is Paul's personal testimony. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Just a side note here. Why in the world is in verse 6, does he relate being blameless according to the law with killing people in the church? I don't know. But that's something else. It's interesting. Put together. Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Anyway, we'll keep going. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. There you go. There's a personal testimony. That's what Ruth did. She gave up her old life and completely gave up her old life now at this point. Now she's going to be bound or offer herself to be bound to this family and live in this new place and have, you know, whatever they have, and really she made this decision back in chapter 1, but she's gained a new identity here. She's going to gain a new identity here. So what did she lose versus what did she gain? Well, she gained a new and fruitful life. That's what Ruth's about to gain. Second thing is, back in Ruth chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, she gets a promise. She gets a promise for her self-sacrifice. She gets a promise from Boaz. And Boaz says this. He says in verse 11, now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Second thing Ruth gains is a promise that gives her a peace of mind. When she gives up her entire life now, like I said, the commitment level is deeper now. She's going to lose her identity and gain a new identity. But in all that, in gaining a new identity, she's going to find some promises from Boaz. Boaz says, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. That is faith. That is the faith of the redeemed, the faith of a Christian who hears a kinsman say, I will do this. And the faith says, I believe that you will do that. I believe that. I believe it. It's like, you know, in the Bible, there's a piece of spiritual armor, and it's the helmet of salvation, or it's called the Yeah, helmet of salvation. And what it is, it's not a physical helmet, but what it is, it's a peace of mind. It's a promise that acts like a helmet and it protects from thoughts that are desperate thoughts and thoughts of discouragement and things like that. I'll give you a couple verses about just the promise and how it protects the mind and how it provides peace of mind. Look in Isaiah chapter 59 for this. First time it shows up. Isaiah 59. So Ruth gets a promise from Boaz. I will do, he says, I will do all that thou requirest. I'm going to perform what you need me to perform. And it's like that spiritual armor. It's like that helmet of salvation where there's a promise that gives peace of mind. Isaiah 59, verse 17, this is where it first shows up. It says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. That's the first time that helmet of salvation shows up. And then it shows up here. I'll just read this to you. In the New Testament, it's in Thessalonians and Ephesians. And in Thessalonians, it says it this way. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For a helmet, the hope of salvation. You know what that is? That's a promise. That's something that provides peace of mind. That's something that eliminates unnecessary fears. It eliminates hopeless thoughts. It at least has the potential to eliminate these things. And it's when you have that helmet on, you have that peace of mind, that sobriety. And that understanding, just like Ruth has with Boaz. Boaz says, all right, you have offered yourself. I will now perform everything that you need me to perform. And there's, Ruth can either believe that or not believe it, but if she chooses to believe it, she has a peace of mind. She has the hope. She can be settled. She doesn't have to worry about things. And so, all of that, that's the second thing Ruth gets when she essentially lays her life down at the kinsman's feet. She gets a new and fruitful life. She gets a promise that gives her a peace of mind. And it's like that salvation is a helmet. It's like that. Paul also talks about it in Ephesians, that putting on the helmet of salvation. And then this third thing, back in Ruth chapter 3. So she's got a new and fruitful life to look forward to. She's got a promise that gives her peace of mind. Next thing she's got is this, an instruction that tells her work is over. Look at verse 13. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until morning. So that's Boaz's instructions to Ruth. It says, tarry this night, lie down until morning. The point is this, Ruth. The point is this. Your work at this point is over. There's nothing else you do at this point. From here, now it's the work of the kinsman. I remember, I don't know, we just had this conversation a couple weeks ago. And it was, it was over at, well, Renee's house, Renee and Marcy's house. And there was a lady, Maria, and she was struggling with salvation and, you know, what's the eternal life? How do I know I have it? Do I have it? What's where am I at? And all that stuff. And one of the things that we talked about was that salvation and eternal life is not your work, it's His work. And so in these verses, what Ruth gets is the instruction that says, your work, Ruth, is done. I'm going to handle the work of redemption now. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ offers. The work on the part of a sinner, I don't need your help anymore. In fact, I didn't need your help in the beginning, but I don't need your help. Now you can trust me and I will take care of what needs to be taken care of. So what does Boaz say to Ruth? He says, tarry this night, just wait here, lay down till morning, and I will handle what needs to be handled. You know what that's like a Christian's relationship to Jesus Christ. Your work is in the way of salvation, the way of eternal life, those things. You have no work really to contribute. And so the Lord says, I will handle this. I will take care of this. Go back to Philippians. I'll give you a cross reference there. It's one of those verses we read. Sorry. But in Philippians chapter 3, when Paul gives his testimony, there's a couple things he says that are really instructive and helpful in the way of what we're talking about. He says this. He gives all of his history about how much he had accomplished and what he had done and his zeal and his all his hard work and his religion. But then he says this, verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. So it's not my work. It's His work, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's how I have access to righteousness. That's how I have access to eternal life. It's by faith. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, so on and so forth. Point is that all of this work that I put into this, Paul says, all of my former life, all of the things that I did and tried to do and tried to make myself acceptable to God, all of those things are none of them were acceptable to God. The thing that is acceptable to God is Jesus Christ. He's the one that's acceptable to God. And if I get in Him by faith, I trust Him, then I am the recipient of all the blessings of God in Jesus Christ. And so, like Ruth and like Boaz and the work that Boaz is about to do, he tells Ruth, all right, your job now, is to lay down, is to wait till the morning, and to let me do what I need to do. That's your job. You just let me do my work now. And that really is, that is the relationship of a Christian, the righteousness of the soul in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ provides that righteousness. He is new life. He is what a lost soul needs. So those three things, there's three things that Ruth finds in Boaz and in this new identity when she lost everything or gave up really even more than she had already given up. She gave up everything, but what did she gain? Well, she gained a new and fruitful life. She gained a new and fruitful life, and that is something that I don't, you know, salvation in Jesus Christ, Christianity. It offers new and fruitful life in Christ. Second thing she gained is a promise that gave her peace of mind. She gets a promise that gives her a peace of mind. The third thing she gains is the understanding that her work is no longer needed. I don't need you to manufacture righteousness. I understand it's not specifically talking about righteousness in Ruth, but that's a correlation there. Point is, the kinsman says, your job, I don't need you for this work of redemption. The work of redemption is my job. I need you to trust me. I need you to lie down, and I need you to wait until morning, and I'll perform what needs to be performed. And so all of these sayings, this is what Ruth gains in this new identity. And it's very, very comparable to a old creature, new creature, old things passed away, all things become new, and all that. So I hope that's helpful. The end of this chapter, I give you a little snippet of the end of this chapter. Do what? Yeah, I'll just a little bit here, but it's neat. I'm just looking at the time. It's like we got a lot of time here. Yeah. But at the end of this chapter, after all this is done, Boaz is going to give Ruth a little token of redemption. And it's really cool how it illustrates and lines up with what Jesus Christ does for Christians and a token of redemption. And we'll talk about that next week. But I hope that's helpful. Sorry for the short Sunday school, but I hope that's helpful. Let's pray and we'll wrap it up. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for these words. There's really nowhere else in the world we can read about this story. It's not really important to the world to read about this story, but we read about this story in your words, and they're so helpful. There's so much in here, and there's so much foreshadowing and so many illustrations of what it means to be a child of God and what it means to have a new identity. And so I pray that it's been helpful. Thank you for each soul that's here. And I do pray for the teachers in the back, that you'd help minister to the kids through them, and pray that my voice isn't a distraction this morning, that people would get what they need from you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.